welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. Have you ever thought about your personal brand? What it is that you want to be known for? Well, today we will discover the value of personal branding and how each of us can manage our own brand and our own reputation. Our guest today, Chelly Phillips, is a personal branding expert. She is a coach, corporate trainer, and motivational speaker, as well as the author of two books, When in Doubt, Delete It, and Get Noticed, Get Hired. It seems to me that Chelly's branding work is all about getting noticed and how you might manage or direct that process. That's because Chelly is on a mission. Her goal is to help others tune in to what makes them great, package it properly, and use their existing skill set to find the path to their highest potential. With that, let's bring on our guest, Chelly Phillips. Welcome to the next chapter with Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. I'm happy to be with you today.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to the show, as is our producer. When I read the introduction to him, he says, tell me, I want to know this. So, you know, Chelly, I don't know if most, but many people are familiar with the concept of personal branding, but I also think most of us have very little idea about how it is we might manage our brand. And I'm very interested in discovering ways to manage my brand according to some of the processes you have developed. Tell me, from the eyes of an expert, go ahead, please.
No, absolutely. You know, I tell people when we start talking about this that, you know, everybody's kind of familiar with a brand. You know, if I say Nike or I say Timex or I say Rolex, you immediately think of something. And it's the same thing. If I say Charlie, people who know you are going to immediately think of something about you.
And that's a horrible thought.
No, your personal brand is the thing that makes you unique, and it is what you are going to be known for. And you know, I tell people all the time, it really is your differentiator. It's what makes you stand out. And so when we can really control that narrative and we can be in control of the information that's going out there, it's so much more powerful and can help us get to where we want to go.
I love that. So you kind of answered my second question, but I might like you to go on a little bit more about it. You know, let's start with a definition of a personal brand.
All right. So I think a personal brand, first and foremost, is you've got to look at it as your biggest asset. It is your reputation, so to speak. And that includes both your digital world that you live in and the real world that you live in, our professional world, where we encounter real people, not just images on the screen. And what it is about showing up and showing up authentically and being able to put out there what it is that makes you the person that someone either wants to work with, do business with, or even network with. So that maybe then when the next opportunity comes around, that you are the first person that they think of and they're ready to open that door for you. Your personal brand is kind of all-encompassing to me. So you can't really just focus on one piece. If you do, it's going to be kind of lopsided and you're going to miss some of the key elements. It's really about how you present yourself. And it's really what people think of you when you're not in the room to do the talking for yourself.
And people are going to talk about you, which is another scary thought, but they are. And your proposition is that we have the ability to manage that, control that, at least help determine what it is they're talking about, rather than just leaving it to willy-nilly to whatever comes up. Is that correct?
Right. It's about being really intentional about putting that message out there and not letting someone else set that narrative for you. You know, your brand, you know, when you're thinking about it, people automatically think, oh, I've got to be great at social media. I've got to have a personal website. All of those are little pieces of it, but it's much bigger than that brand. I mean, than those pieces. Your brand is so much bigger than that. It's how you interact with clients. It's how you interact with potential clients or coworkers. It's how you interact with others in your industry. It's even how you interact with the barista when you're picking up your coffee in the morning. You know, and it really has to encompass more than just work. It's got to include what I like to think of as your values, you know, and that's really the secret sauce to me, because how we feel and what we believe in and the emotion and passion that we can bring to something is what's really going to set us apart from others. So if you can include your values, your skills, the life experiences that you've had, the stories that make up who you are, your personality, when you can really start adding those into it, people can get a really good big picture of who you are and what you're like. You know, it's almost like like the dating sites, you know, swipe left, swipe right. You know, it's like, do we want to interact with this person? Except we're doing it now on a professional level, because we want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for the next opportunities that are out there, and that the opportunities that come our way are the ones that are really aligned with what we want to do, what we value, the types of companies that we want to work for, the organizations that we want to volunteer with, the boards and things that we want to get involved on. And so it's about being very intentional about setting that message and making sure that we are talking about ourselves in a way that puts that best foot forward.
You know what occurs to me? I have thought about this a lot since thinking about the podcast, and that it seems to me, because you're talking values, that there is a lot of reflection on who I am as a person. And I sort of, before I can even start building a brand, I need to articulate who I am and who I want to be. So I know what I want to do when I am promoting my brand. Isn't there something to that?
Absolutely. You know, you've got to define what that vision of success is for you. And if you're having trouble getting started, one of the things that I do with my clients is I ask them to pick five people and let them be kind of reflective of their life. So make sure you have someone from your professional world, you have someone from your personal world, maybe you have someone from church, maybe you have someone that you interact with clubs and organizations, whatever's, you know, right for you. And ask them simply, tell me the five things that you think of when you think of me. Or if you're wanting to position yourself for a career or maybe a job change, ask them, when you think of me, what are the skills or talents that you think I have that would be applicable in a business situation? And you can really start kind of defining, you know, who it is that people are already thinking that I am. And if that aligns with your vision, that's great. But if it doesn't, that gives you a great place to start at looking at how can I actually position myself for success. And, you know, one of the things, people feel very awkward sometimes when they're talking about themselves. So sometimes it's easier to get started if we ask our friends and families and coworkers, you know, what is it that they think about me? Because, you know, especially me, I was raised in the South and, you know, always grew up with a mom that's like, don't talk about yourself. That's bragging. That's not nice. And to some extent, that's what personal branding is. But it doesn't have to be that icky kind of thing. You know, you should be proud of what you're accomplishing. You should be proud of the skills that you've learned and earned and brought to life throughout your career, throughout the different things that you've experienced and accomplished. And, you know, the other thing that I think about is when you're doing this, think about how can you lift up others along the way too, because I think that's an important part of the personal branding aspect, is that we didn't get to where we are alone, so we don't have to go to where we're going to by ourselves as well. So if you can highlight the things that you're doing on your team, if you can highlight, you know, different things like that, and give some shout outs to some other people who have been influential, whether it's been a mentor, or whether it's been, you know, someone just took some time to have some coffee with you and share their thoughts and ideas. These are all great things, and they also show the value that you put into people. So when you start building this brand out and start sharing things online and start communicating them, then people are more receptive to it, because you are very open and you are very transparent, and you don't mind giving credit to someone else when credit is due.
Oh, yeah. I so agree with, you know, I love the idea of kind of a group of a board, so to speak, of people that are giving you feedback on the way they perceive you. There, however, is another aspect that is not known in necessarily in detail to other people, and those are your deep residing personal values that you need. I think we need to do a check and a spot. I mean, I spend time looking at my values and articulating my values, and I want to live by my values. So a lot of my actions are determined by what my values are, and only I know those. Other people can see the results of that, but they don't know that value, and that's very important, I think, for me to articulate, because that helps me define what my personal brand needs to look like.
Yeah, and I think that's even more important this day and age. You look at how untrusting the world is, how they're always looking for the negative, how no one really believes the information that's put out there in front of them, that I think it's even more critical today that is a piece of what we're doing personally, you know, when we're putting those messages out. People can smell a fake in a heartbeat. You know, you might get away with it, you know, for a couple of weeks, couple of months, but sooner or later, something is going to creep out there, and if you're not being authentic to who you are, it's going to show up. And so I tell people, you know, it is very important that you get clear on what matters to you, and then that you're very clear on how what I'm sharing out reflects that, or how is it something that I'm using to show that I'm even working on that piece of me. Maybe I'm not where I want to be right now, but I know this is something that's important, and I know that this is something that I value, whether it's in an organization that I'm going to be working with or people that I'm going to be working with. And I want to make sure that the people that I bring around me are exhibiting these same traits too.
Yeah, and many times others don't even have to know what our values are, but they need to, as you were suggesting with getting this group together, they need to be able to identify actions that you can attribute to the values that you said. I agree with you. Values are very, very important in this process. Now you have a sort of teaching methodology or a program that you call Select Successfully Ever After. Is that included in your program?
Yes, it absolutely is. I teach that in a couple of different ways. I have it as an online course that people can take and kind of self-pace themselves through it however they want to. Online course, however, is designed pretty much for someone who is new to the professional world. So it's going to start out with a very piece of like building those fundamental pieces of marketing that we do for ourselves, our resume, our cover letters, all of that kind of stuff, our LinkedIn profiles, and how you interview, and then how you set yourself up for success internally. When I work with my personal clients that I do one-on-one coaching, we kind of dive a little deeper and get very personal with what's important to them. You know, some of the questions that we kind of go through are, you know, what do you feel most confident doing? Or what is it that you want to avoid? You know, especially now we have so many people that are transitioning in jobs because of the self-reflection that's kind of taken place during the last couple of years. And with the great resignation or the great reflection or whatever people are calling it these days, then, you know, people have had a lot of time to sit about and think, what is really important to me? Is this how I want to spend my rest of my working years doing X, Y, Z? And so we kind of work through this step by step whenever I take on a personal client. But then the other thing that I work with my personal clients on is not to forget the importance of story and emotion when we start building our personal brand. I can give you an example of one of my latest clients that I have. He came from a finance background, worked in finance for years. His children had moved out of the house, out of college now. He and his wife were, you know, trying to decide if this is where he wanted to stay. He had had some management changes, different things like that, that he just wasn't thrilled about anymore, and he just wasn't excited about going to work. And so as I was working with him through it, as he was, you know, kind of talking through everything, he shared to me a story that came from his childhood. And he talked about how he had always enjoyed real estate, that even as a young kid that he enjoyed, his father had rental property, and that he would go with him on weekends to help working on them, and that he always associated, you know, that rental house and the people that lived with the fact that they could take vacations and do stuff as a family, because that was a supplemental income for that family. And the more we talked about it, the more I realized, and from what he shared, is that he had stayed in that market for years. He kept up with trends. He kept up with what was happening. He followed real estate in the area. It even helped someone along the way kind of set up their own version of rental property and how to manage it and different things like that, that on a friend basis, not through any kind of work connection or whatever. And so I threw out one day, I said, you know, it sounds to me like real estate is what you want to do. And he said, oh, it would be great if I could do that, that I could, you know, that I could help someone else find their, you know, their rental property that opened up the door for their dreams, whether it's a vacation home or whether it's being able to provide extra income for their family. And I said, why can't you? And why can't that be part of your shift? And so we talked a little bit more, and a couple sessions later, he came back and he was like, you know, I talked to my wife, and so the more we thought about this, the more this is what I want to do. He says, I'm just excited about it all over again. He says, I feel like that kid again that's excited about something.
That's
and
great.
So the thing that I told him is that now that he's making that brand move for himself and putting out there that he's making a career change, we need to add that story to it so that people can see his passion and they can feel his love for what he's doing, because that's really what connects people. It's the stories and the emotion that connect us. It's not the list of, here's my skills, I'm a great accountant, or I can do Excel better than anybody you've ever thought of, or anything like that. We want to work with people that we enjoy and that we feel like they're similar to us, and that they share the same values and they have passion and they love what they're doing. And so we worked a lot with him on developing some marketing for himself that really used that story and what he hoped to help someone else do. I want to help them make a better life. I want them to, you know, be able to do these things with their family, or I want them to be able to enjoy this rental property with their grown children so they can come back and vacation here and do different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just really powerful when you can tie that all together.
That's great. That's, you know, as I'm thinking about this, Shelley, I'm thinking now there's multiple audiences, but there's sort of two audiences that you have, sort of two branding approaches, and this is me as a non-expert guessing, so feel free to correct me at any point. But you have one audience that is your personal interface audience, that you see them regularly or semi-regular, either at work or their family or boards or organizations that you work with, you know, whether you're in sports or in church or volunteering. So those are the people that see you in action. And there's one kind of branding that goes with that, and it has a lot to do with actions, and it has a lot to do with words, with the way you say things, the way you do things, the way you interact with other people. And there's also that sort of audience that you may never even meet, but depending on your business, they could be critical to the success of your business. And that's where social media, websites, those kinds of things, as you're producing them, I think it's good to have in mind that you are creating a brand. You're not just telling about yourself, you're not just telling about your product, trying to sell a product or a service, because what you really are selling in so many solopreneurial situations, you're selling yourself. People are not buying what you're selling, they're buying you. I mean, they're buying a combination, obviously, but it's you that makes the final difference. So am I somewhat accurate in those two kinds of audiences?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my background, I come from 25 years in public relations and marketing. And one of the things that, you know, you have a hot audience and you have a cold audience. The hot audience is the one that knows you, the one that, you know, that's familiar with you. And the cold audience is the one that all they see is what they see in the printed material or either an ad or something that you're doing. And you're trying to evoke some kind of response or some kind of action from them. And it's definitely two while the messages are the same, they're probably presented in different ways. You know, the audience that you see on a daily basis or weekly basis or something like that, they're going to base that pretty much on their encounter with you. How do you react when I'm on the phone with you? How is the interaction when we're meeting at an event? Or, you know, did you follow through with what you told me you were going to do? Or did I have to track you down for 3 weeks and be like, I still need this from you. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, the thing with that, way back in college, they told us that people buy or people work with people that they know, like, or trust.
Right.
And that's really what you're doing with your branding, is that you're creating that essence of trust. You're giving them a reason to trust you until you don't. And we hope we don't get to that don't part. We want to continue to build on that trust so that we can show them who we are, so they get to know us, and then they can like us. And then they will buy from us, or either they will offer us potentially an opportunity if that's what we're trying to nurture through our networking or something like that.
Or if we've built a really good brand, then they will be gracious and forgiving if we make a mistake and come back and cop to it and say, you know, mea culpa, I need to change that. They're going to be much more forgiving to this amenable, value-oriented, great character type of person than they are somebody who's just obviously out for a buck.
Right, and that gets back to that authenticity piece that I was talking about earlier, is that, you know, we are human. We are going to screw up, and I am going to make mistakes. And the fact that I'm owning up to it and I'm being very public about it, or, you know, I'm making sure you understand that I know what I did, and I realize, you know, that doesn't fit what I want out of me, but I am human and I made a mistake and I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to fix that kind of thing. You know, that's super important. And it's even more important to me, I think, when we think of, like, someone who's beginning to take these steps to put their brand out there and build it, is a lot of people feel like they have to be perfect before they can start branding themselves. And if you wait for perfect, you're never going to start, because, you know, while one person may be super talented and can come up with the best social graphics, some of us may struggle to post a video online and get it where it doesn't look like, you know, it's wobbling around as I'm walking in my yard trying to take the video where the kids aren't screaming and the dog is running through the shot, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think people are way more forgiving of that, because they see real life in that, and they say, oh, they're a person just like I am. Oh, they've got kids. Oh, they've got dogs that are probably tearing up their house while they're trying to do this and build this for themselves too. And, you know, I think that's part of who you want to be and who you want to present. Now, do you want every post to be like that? Probably not. But I think you can get away with some of that and not wait for that perfect moment and not be afraid of making a mistake, because people really are, when they know you're trying and they know that you're working on you and they know that you're, you know, you're sharing freely and you're giving good value, they're pretty forgiving. And so, you know, that's the piece that I would love for someone to hold on to, is don't be afraid to take that first step and start doing this, because, you know, that really is the hardest, is like putting that action behind the intent. It's like, okay, I intend to do it. No, quit intending to do it and just do it.
Well, you just provided a great segue where I wanted to go, because I think we have at least given an initial idea as to what personal branding is all about. Let's, you know what I'd like to do now is I'd like to take a look at some practical ways, some practical strategies or tactics we can implement that will enhance our branding. So what I want to do, Chelly, is take a quick break, and we're going to come back and dive right into the meat of the work. Is that okay with you?
Sounds good.
Okay. All Hi there, this is Charlie Hedges, and you're listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie. And our special guest today is Chelly Phillips, who is a personal branding expert. And we spent the first half of the show talking about what a personal brand is, why it's necessary, how it can improve your life, and some of the work that's required into it. And now what I want to take a look at is I want to get down in the weeds, and I want to get real practical on things that our listeners can do to enhance or build their personal brand. And the first thing I'm thinking about is I noticed in your writing and as we talk that you talk a lot about the value of branding and promotability at work. One of the value propositions of the branding of personal branding has to do with personally managing your potential for promotability. What goes into that?
Yeah, so, you know, once you've gotten on with an organization, you've been hired, you know, when I'm working with, especially I do a lot of work with college students as well, and I talk to them, your first 90 days on a job is so super important because it's going to set the tone for who you are and how you're known at work. And so, you know, if you're new and starting out, that kind of thing, you want to meet people, you want to make connections across the organization. And the same thing applies if you're transitioning. If this is your next chapter and you're moving to a different organization, or you've decided, I don't want to do what I want to do, you know, I've been doing for the last 20 years, and I want to change industries and stretch and use some different skills right now. The best thing that you can do is start networking internally to begin with. You want to meet people in different departments so that you can really get a good feel of, you know, what's the pulse here? Who are the decision makers? You know, like, what are some things happening in the background that I might need to know? And get really clear and define your purpose. What do you want your brand to be at work? Are you interested in promotion? Do you think you want to stay at this organization, or are you going to leave and go someplace else to get that next step? And if you decide that you're going to stay there, there's a couple of different things that I recommend that people do to really set themselves up to be a standout employee so that they get noticed for the right reasons, like I like to say. And one of the things that I tell people to do is, I'm old school and I still love my paper planner. And
I just worked with a guy yesterday who has a paper planner, and it's the first time, and it's very helpful for him. I mean, it really helps him produce.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I think it came from my years in journalism where we wrote everything down all the time. It's like, I just feel like I have to write it down on paper for it to be real. And so what I do is I pick a day every week, and I kind of reflect on, what are my wins for the week? You know, and they don't have to be these major wins. Like, you don't have to land a $1 million account. You know, maybe you kept a project on task, or maybe you networked with someone that you think is going to be valuable or help you gain skills, or maybe you took an online class that, you know, beefed you up in an area that you were missing. But I think it's really important that we document for ourselves what our wins are at work. And then when you get ready to, you talk with someone about the next move or whatever, you can go back through that list and you can see, oh, which of these accomplishments are really setting myself up to be able to show that I am the person that they need to put in that next position.
Now, didn't you say that needs to be done on a daily basis, that somehow at the end of the day or sometime during the day you write a few, you know, just a couple of notes on what you accomplished for that day. So you don't just think of it at the end of the week. Right. You have a list of things that you have done so that you can appeal to.
Right. You'll do that every day. And then, like, what I like to do at the end of the week is really go back and pick the one or two things that really stand out that I want to use for my next move. How am I positioning myself? How can I pick one or two of the things that happened this week that I'm able to showcase in some kind of way that can help me move forward? And like I said, whether that's you're making a list for, this is the skills that are needed in the next position that I want, and you kind of keep track of, you know, when I go have this conversation with my supervisor, these are the things that I need to really emphasize. Or maybe it's something that you're getting in a volunteer setting that you want to be able to incorporate in what you're doing, you know, inside a corporation or something like that. But keep track of whatever the accomplishment is, and then, you know, circle one or two of them or highlight them or whatever, you know, your method that works for you, of the ones that really, really stand out to you and the ones that you need to make sure that you don't forget and that are putting you on track to get to that next level. And, you know, I tell people not to wait until the end of the year, like when we have our yearly evaluations. It's like you need to set a time throughout the year to do what I call check in with your boss and or your supervisor, and just have a sit down with them and be like, I just wanted to touch base with you and see, you know, am I progressing the way that you want me to progress? Here's some things based on a previous conversation, or, you know, some things that I've seen around the organization or from talking to other people that I've really been working on, but I want your direction. I want to make sure I'm doing the things that you think I need to do that can make me the best employee possible. And if you start having those conversations along the way, when you get to your yearly evaluations and different things like that, or when that supervisor is sitting in a meeting and they're talking about, you know, next opportunities, you're going to come to mind because you've been preparing this person to think of you for that next step since you've been in that role. And then the other thing that I tell people is you need to become your supervisor's kind of go-to problem solver, or at least, you know, I tell a lot of folks, especially in corporate world, you know, your supervisor may have 20 people or they may have 200 people depending on the side of the organization that you're in. And so what happens? The squeaky wheel gets noticed, right? So you're either a problem child and they're always having to go check up on you, do some kind of, you know, coaching to keep you motivated, keep you in line, doing whatever it needs to be. Or you're just someone who's over the top, showboaty or whatever for another reason. So the pack that's just kind of, I'm doing my work, I'm doing a good job, kind of can get lost in all the noise of the corporate world. And so one of the ways that you can counter that, and I tell people, is to come up with what I call their weekly check-ins. And they do that by email, because you don't want to be in front of your boss all the time, you know, taking up their time and doing that kind of thing. But you want to be top of mind. And so on Monday morning, you can send your boss an email. You can say, here's the top three things I'm working on based on last week's conversation. I know this is what you wanted me to focus on. You know, you can do a check-in and be, is there anything else that needs to be done this week that I'm, you know, that I need to add to this list? And then you be, is there anything that I can do to help make your week better? And if you ask that consistently and enough, you know, and genuinely mean, can I help you in some way, make it easier for you, they're going to notice. And then I say, follow that up on Thursday, not on Friday, because everybody's trying to get out on Fridays. Everybody's got like last minute meetings, but follow it up on Thursday morning and say, here's what I've accomplished this week. Give them an update on any kind of projects or anything that's going on that they need to be aware of. So that when they go to their staff meetings or they go to their department meetings or their leadership meetings, they don't have to come find information. They've got someone that's sending them the information that they know the project's on track, or they know that you're courting XYZ client, or that, hey, this is where we stand on the contract. I don't have to go back and look for it and find it. And you become my problem solver. You become the person that, hey, I can count on to give me the information that I need. I'm not having to track it down. And I know if there's a problem, you're going to address it in this email and let me know what you need from me to make it better.
I'm curious.
If you really implement just those two things, then you're really going to get ahead.
Yeah, I see that. I see the value of that. I'm curious. You've talked to bosses. Do they feel that's too much communication, or do they like that? What feedback have you received from bosses on that?
So I've gotten very positive feedback from my clients that have done that, and I did it myself in corporate world. And so, with it being two a week, it's not over the top. Now, if you were emailing them, you know, every couple of hours about something, saying, I closed this account today, or I did whatever, or, hey, you'll never guess what I heard in the break room, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, then, you know, yeah, you're going to get known for all the wrong reasons. But I think if you're generally sending, hey, I want you to be aware of what's happening, here's what I'm working on, And then at the end of the week, here's where it stands, and I'll either continue next week or I'll wait for my next assignment from you. Then I think you're putting yourself out there, and they won't mind those emails because they're
brief and to the point.
Yeah, they don't have to be all flowery. They don't have to, you know, it's not like a dissertation that you're writing. So, you know, a couple quick bullet items, couple quick, you know, here's a little, you know, thanks for, you know, if there's anything else you need, let me know, sign off and be done with it. And I think you're positioning yourself then as their problem solver, their person that is providing the information that they're not having to go track down. And it makes you look good because you're making them look good when they're at their next level meeting as well.
And then your name is top of mind when the promotion opportunities come.
Correct.
Yeah. Do you know, 20 years ago, Andy Grove at Intel did a very similar yet distinct intervention, and that he had, at the end of every week, every employee in the company in Intel, including himself, had to write, you know, like a half a page, not because there's so many people, so it could not be more than a half a page, a quarter to a half a page, that highlighted not what they did for the week, but how they impacted their department, the company, their team. And it was a really valuable exercise for the company, is that people were talking about the impact, you know, not just what they did, but this is how we have made a difference in the company. I've always, that has stuck with my mind, in my mind for a long time.
Well, I'll share something else since you brought that up. I love that, actually, idea. I also deal a lot in corporate culture, and one of the organizations that I really study is WD-40. They have what they call a learning culture inside that organization, and every week they have meetings where the employees can stand up and they go, this is what I learned this week because XYZ didn't work, and here's how we can keep that from happening, and here's how you can make sure that the same mistake doesn't happen to you. And then on the flip side, you can also share that, hey, I had a learning moment this week. This is what worked great for me, and this is the results that we got, and here's how you can implement that yourself. And I think it's kind of the same concept, is that, you know, the employees don't fear that failure, and they're focused on how can I share the information and how can I help someone else either avoid the mistake or either take another step forward because I'm sharing what did work. Same thing as when you're talking about how you impact others and how you impact that department, you're going to really be focused on making a positive impact and not a negative impact. So I guarantee there's more collaborative culture and there's more information sharing and there's more communication happening so that they can make sure that they have something positive to share at the end.
Yeah, I love that. Now, my second point is I like the title of your second book. I like the title of your first book, but there's something about the second book that really struck me, Get Noticed, Get Hired. And I especially like the idea of managing how I can get noticed. In the business world, whether we're solopreneurs or we work for a company or we work for a small startup, getting noticed is very important. And to do so, because it is so influential, to do so requires a high degree of intentionality. And you mentioned to me a couple days ago a couple of ways that you can get noticed for the right reason and how important it is to get noticed. And you told me too that one of the ways you like starting was creating a strategic plan for getting noticed. Now, strategic plan is a scary thought. You know, that's a 20-page document. So it's, well, a 5-page document in the way I'm doing strategic plans nowadays. What kinds of things will you put into a strategic plan for getting noticed?
So it's kind of like walking through what we were doing initially. First, before you begin any plan is you got to define the purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is going to be the purpose of your brand?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is it that you're going to want to be known as an expert in your field? Are you trying to position yourself, you know, for an industry transition or a move? Or are you looking for community involvement? Or are you looking to grow a business on your own? So whatever your purpose is, you need to be very clear on that before you start building out that brand. And so once you've got your purpose, your framework in mind, first thing I do is I want you to tell that to someone else. Because until you get comfortable sharing it and talking about it, it's going to be so hard for you to start putting it on paper and on, you know, your online profiles and everything else. So, you know, if it's your wife, if it's your best friend, if it's your dog, you know, whatever it is that you have around you that you trust to have this conversation with, is tell someone why it's important and why you're going to do this.
And so, get their feedback.
And it really, yeah, and get their feedback. You know, like, you know, do they, is there something that seems out of line, or is there something, you know, I guarantee you're going to find a cheerleader, because people want people to succeed. Truly, in most of our hearts, we want someone to succeed, and we want them to be able to accomplish whatever their dream is. And so get clear on that purpose. And then once you get clear on the purpose, then we need to start kind of branching out a little bit. Look at the skill set that you have. Like we talked about, if you don't know right off your hand, ask five people. So make a list of those words that they use. Make a list of the skills that you have. And then go back through and kind of define on how does each of those help me reach this purpose? Which ones do I really want to focus on? What do I need to communicate to someone so that they understand that this purpose is important to me? And, you know, it's all about being able to show your personal development or your professional development, depending on what the thing is. And so if you're not really sure which way that you want to go, you know, really stop before you start putting something out and make that some, you know, give that a lot of good thought and think about, you know, what is it you want to be known for? You know, what kind of message is it that I want to communicate?
It's so
like,
critical.
And so if it is someone, you know, like, you know, if someone came to you and said, this is what I want to do, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them that you would think helped them succeed? And then write that down and do it yourself. And so, you know, once you've got your purpose, it's also the other thing that I like to say is, like, you really got to know your why. Why are you doing this? Am I doing it because I'm in a really sucky situation at my current job that I'm in and I really can't stand it and it's taking a toll on my health and it's taking a toll on my mental health and nobody wants to be around me anymore? Or is it because I've outgrown it and I want to do some new things and experiences, new challenges? Or is it because I have these great ideas I want to share and I want to help somebody else be able to do, you know, great things in life. So I'm going to build my own business so I can hire and I can develop people too. And so once you got that, you know, the thing that I really want you to remember is that no one else has your story to tell. And then you get really clear on how do you want to tell that story? What is it about you that makes you different from someone else? And what audience do you want to share that with? Because not all of this has to be done on, you know, you don't have to have five social media platforms going at one time to be able to get your message out there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, so you're going to determine what platforms that you need to use and how that you need to do that. And what are some of the things that, you know, I like to call it your onlyness, your special sauce, you know, your differentiator. What is it that you offer that no one else is going to offer right now? And once you get really clear with those pieces, then it just becomes a matter of developing messaging, coming up with a branding statement, which I think is super important. We can talk about that too. And then you take those pieces and you translate them and put them on the platforms that you decide are going to be the best ones for you to use to hit your ideal market.
I like that. I like that. It does. And this is, as we've used the word intentional, this is a very intentional effort, and it doesn't take long over a long period of time, but it does require, especially in the beginning, it's going to require, you know, a few days of work and evaluating that. And I used to, I don't do it quite as much as I used to before I retired, but I would have, I would go one day a year, and I would go two nights in one day, and I would have to go to sleep. I would have to wake up in the place that I'm doing my work, and I'd have to go to sleep in the place I'm doing my work. And it really was just self-evaluating where my business is, where my life is. Am I heading the direction I want to be heading? What am I? It was really a sort of an annual checkup that's just on my own, me doing it. And that was, you know, I can't tell you, Charlie, how valuable that was. That was, I came across a document accidentally. I don't know if we talked about it on the phone or if I think I might even have talked about it on the last podcast, but I'll take a chance and repeat it. And that was in 2011. I was 61. I turned 70 in 2020. And I wrote 61 with 9 years to go. And so I was thinking, what would I be at 70? Because I was thinking that's, you know, when I'm going to be entering much more active retirement. And I wrote a list of who I wanted to be in the next 9 years. And they were largely value-oriented statements. They were not, I'm going to make this kind of money, I'm going to have this job. They were not specific, intentionally not specific, because I can attain my values through many different media or different work activities. And do you know what was really weird, Shelley, is that I accidentally came upon that document this year, so 2022. So 11 years later, I looked at those things that I said I wanted to be at 70. And do you know, every single one of them were accomplished. Because I, even though I didn't use them as a checklist, they resonated with the core of who I am and who I wanted to be. And I had this internal growth mindset in me, and it was, and I found that was very helpful, and that was very confirming as well, to look back and say, well, you know, I'm not where I'm at today by accident. There has been some intention and some effort in that area. So I highly commend that.
Well, there's something very visceral about writing something down. You know,
oh, yes.
I think that's why it's very important. Like, we make the plan before we actually start putting stuff out there. You know, when you write it down, it becomes very real. And there's something about our mind. And when you're putting something on paper and you're reading back over it, it's something about it cementing it in your brain. And that, you know, your brain goes to work on, oh, I'm going to make this happen for them because this is important to them. And, you know, what you focus on is what you achieve. And so if you're writing it on paper and you're setting yourself these goals, whether you refer back to them, you know, once a year or you refer back to them 11 years later, your brain still remembers you doing it. And it's still going to be bringing those things to you and showing you things along the way that are going to get you closer and closer to achieving those. And so I think that ties right back into what you were talking about, is like being very strategic with your plan to begin with.
Thank you.
Is,
yeah,
that you have to know where you're going and what you're, yeah, you know, like what you want to achieve, so that you can build this plan and actually, you know, have a pathway for getting there.
Well, we're getting close to our time, but there is an important question I need to ask you, because we had talked about sort of two focuses or foci, whatever we want to say, on this branding. And one is that personal, where we're seeing the people and interacting with the people. And there's the other one that's less personal, and that's with social media. Now, I am not a fan of social media. I'm an introvert. I'm a private person. Yet, I want to be known for what I want to be known for. And social media plays a big role in that, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And, you know, we got to face it, this day and age, people spend more time with a device in their hand than they do anywhere else. And that's the source of their information now. It's, you know, all of the platforms are where we go to find whatever we're looking for at that point in time. So whether it's our next job opportunity, or whether it's learning about a company, or whether it's the next recipe that we're going to cook for supper that night, you know, we scroll through our phone and we find it. And, you know, it's very important that as we're building our brand, that we are very intentional about the platforms that we choose, because they each have their different audiences and they each have different uses. And, you know, if you're really in that professional mindset and you're wanting to grow a business, or you're wanting to get your name out there as an expert in your industry or different things like that, LinkedIn is really the one that I would say that you should focus on.
That is what we've been told with our podcast and our blog, is that, you know, I have a LinkedIn profile, but it's not been updated for years, and I've been so reluctant, you know, as so many people, so reluctant to go in and do it. Half of because I don't know what I'm doing, and secondly is being the introvert. I don't know that I want everybody to know so much about me. So, but it has been stressed on me over and over. What do you do? Pardon me. What do you do with people like me?
So we sit down and we take it real slow. So basically, I'm going to tell you, like I would tell any client that I have, is that LinkedIn is like any other platform. When you engage with it, it rewards your engagement. So it's going to put what you're doing in front of more people that it thinks can benefit or are more like you or want the things that you're doing. So if you are trying to build your brand and you're wanting more people to hear your podcast, or you're wanting, you know, to find people to work for you or different things like that, it is important that you get intentional about it. But there's certain areas that you can really focus on to make a really big difference. And first one is your picture. You absolutely want to have a profile picture on there, and you also want to do something with that banner image. I don't know if you've ever scrolled through someone's platform on your phone and it's got just the generic blue background on it and just their face is sticking there. That blue background is what I'm talking about. That's a banner in an image. You want to put something there that reflects you, your business, your professionalism, whatever it is that you want to, whatever you want to do, but don't waste that space, because it's going to make you stand out more than someone who doesn't have.
Is this on LinkedIn, or is this?
This is LinkedIn, but for that piece of advice would apply for any other platform too.
And okay, then because we have a banner LinkedIn on our website, would that be the same kind of banner mm-hmm. that we would use in LinkedIn?
It's a similar concept, but it's going to be a different, you're going to size it a little bit different, and you're going to want to move your images to one side so that your profile picture doesn't cover up anything that's important on there. And so after you've got your images down pat, you want to focus on the headline. I tell people, don't just use it as like a job title. Tell somebody, you've got 120 characters there to tell somebody what makes you different than somebody else, or what you can bring to the table. Use that space. And then the other space that I tell people not to overlook is that summary area. That's really where you get to tell the story of you. You know, when I was talking about my client earlier, the one that was in real estate, that's where we crafted a couple of paragraphs where he worked in talking about his love of real estate since he was a child. And that's an area that's written in first person, which is kind of hard for some people. So I would tell you is to work on a couple of paragraphs for that and get some people to read it and see how it flows to them and what might need to be, you know, tweak just a little bit before you make it public, and then put it out there and make it public. And then the great thing about personal branding is that personal branding is going to evolve with you as you evolve. And so if this first iteration doesn't get it exactly right, and you get feedback along the way that, hey, you might want to try this or that, or if you learn a new skill that you really enjoy doing and you want to try it out and add that to your profile, by all means, go in there and adjust it. Because like I said, it doesn't have to be perfect first for you to be able to take that action. You just want it to be something that's very representative of you and that people get a good feel for you. But there's nothing to say that it can't be tweaked or changed along the way.
Yeah, I like that. It's back to the introvert and private people thing. You know, I want my message out there, but I don't want me out there, and that can't be because I'm private, but that can't be so. You know, it's just.
Well, you know, the neat thing about that is, like, for some, in that instance, is, like, you can share other people's stories, and that's what you're doing with this podcast, is that instead of the post being all about you, you can share why whatever message it is that you think is important.
Mm,
and
good point.
You know, your profile, you know, your summaries and stuff like that can be, you know, on why it's important for you to share these stories. It doesn't have to be so much as, you know, it doesn't have to be about, you know, I like my coffee black and I sit on my porch and, you know, I have a wife and three kids and, you know, like, you don't have to give them all the personal information. You just have to make it personal so that people feel like you're talking to them and providing them the value.
That's a great suggestion. I love that. Well, you know, Charlie, this has been so informing, and I think so many people can gain very, very helpful information and very, very helpful processes that they can use to create their personal brand for getting noticed, promotability, for people understanding where you are, especially in your personal relationships. They can understand more about you. What are the driving forces that are working with you? And that just helps, you know, that helps branding so much. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for being on the show. What a pleasure you have been.
Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
What is the best way for listeners to find out more about you? And I'll be sure to put it in our show notes. I'll put links to the books.
Yeah, all of those are on Amazon. Pretty much any place you buy books, you can find those. You can always connect with me on LinkedIn. I do a lot of blogging and sharing through that platform. And my website, shellyphillips.com, has a lot of freebies that you can download and start building your brand from them.
Let me show you my social media ignorance. How do they get a hold of you on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, I'm just Shelly Phillips. You can type in my name. And that's how I'm listed on there. So you can just type that right in the search and I'll pop up on your screen.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. This has been a truly delightful time. You're very gracious to come on to our show.
I've enjoyed it a lot. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, everybody, that's all we have today on our show with The Next Chapter with Charlie. And as always, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now.